Alrighty. Welcome to Wednesday night. We're going to be in Acts chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 28 through 38, which will finish the chapter. While you're getting there, I'll give you a slight recap of last time, so you know where we're at. Paul has journeyed to Miletus, where he called the elders of the Ephesian church to join him. Didn't want to go directly to Ephesus as it would slow down his journey to Jerusalem. They've met him there, and he's let them know that they won't see him again. They're not going to see his face again. And that the Holy Spirit has told him in each city that he goes to that chains and trials await him. But he doesn't consider that of any worth, because he wants to press on to what the Lord has intended for him. And so, no matter what comes his way, he's determined to go on. Even though he will be bound, he will be determined. Now, he's trying to give them a warning, knowing that he's departing, knowing that his teaching from the Lord and the zeal that he's had, there will be someone try to step in to a position of authority and guide them the wrong way. So he's going to give a warning about that. So before we begin to read God's word, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus, our Savior. We ask, dear Lord, that in each of these words that we read from your word, that we would seek Jesus, to know you better, to be known by you, to seek the things that are pleasing to you, and in all things to honor you. Put our minds upon you tonight, by your Spirit, that we might learn what you intend. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pick up. We're going to go ahead and read through 28 to 38, and we'll come back and we'll take a look at it. Verse 28, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For you know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when Paul, he, had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words that which he spoke, that they would not see his face any more. And they accompanied him to the ship. This is a parting, a sad time, but for Paul, this is a time where he wants them to be careful, to be watchful. He reminds them that there will be those from without and those from within who will try to turn them from the teaching of the Lord, and most importantly, from knowing the Lord himself. Let's take a look at our verse by verse. Verse 28. Therefore, he has just given testimony to them that he did not fail to declare the whole counsel of God to them. Now he says, therefore, take heed to yourselves. Don't worry about me. Look after yourselves and the whole flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Remember, if you're in a place of leadership, who put you in that place? The Lord did, by the leading of His Holy Spirit. Something to always remember, to always take and cherish. And we're going to come back to that in Ephesians a little bit later, what Paul wrote to them, the same group of people, a few years later when he was in Rome. Take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, elders, to shepherd, that is to pastor, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And that's a very interesting sentence, statement. It reveals to us that Paul knows and completely understands that Jesus is God. Let's look at it again. To shepherd the church of God, which he, God, purchased with his own blood. Very clear. Verse 29. For I know this. How does he know this? He knows it by the Spirit. There are things that you think and things that you know. You can think that you know Jesus. I thought I did for a long time. But there's a difference between thinking and knowing. When you know, it's absolute. It's concrete. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you. Do you know anything about wolves? I had one misfortune of watching a wolf eat a rabbit on YouTube. They don't do it nicely. They don't use silverware. It's ugly. Pretty bad. This is the nature of the internal character of the people that he's warning them about. Their intent is to tear apart the church. After my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Their intent's very clear, and they will do harm. They will try. Also, if that wasn't bad enough, also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, before we get to that next therefore, he knows that within this very group that he's speaking to, some of them will follow their own heart's desires. The perverse things. Now, what is something that's perverse? What can you think that that is? If you read through Leviticus, you'll find the many different things that the Lord lists as laws, and then you'll find something occasionally thrown in like this. Do not boil a kid or a lamb in its mother's milk, and then it'll move on. What did that have to do with the law that was being spoken about? The idea is perversity. Don't take that which was intended to nourish to be that which boils to prepare for food. Don't be perverse in heart. Don't take what was intended by God and turn it around to the opposite intent. So these men will speak perverse things. They will intend to draw people away from the Lord by taking his words out of context or completely wrong. What's the purpose of that? Why will they do that? To draw men after themselves, to seek their own purposes, their own praise, their own identity, rather than having their identity, their purpose and their praise being in Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, since I have told you these things, watch. Keep an eye out. Look for these things to occur. And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. He's saying, I've been on the watch. I've been expecting these things. I've seen them among you. I was aware. Now it's time for you to take up the mantle. I'm passing the torch, as it were. Right here, I'd like to take just a moment. This is the sort of message that, as men and women, we can look at and say, yes, I can be ready. I can be on my guard. And they will. The Ephesian church is going to be on their guard with everything except for one thing. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 7, where Jesus is speaking to the church at Ephesus directly. Not through Paul this time, but directly. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things say he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, those would be the seven angels, he who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, the seven churches he's writing to. I know your works, Ephesus, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered, and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. That's pretty good. If it had stopped right there, it'd be excellent. He does have something to say after, but before we get there, they did the things that they were asked to do. They were on their guard. Those people came. They patiently dealt with them, did not allow them to use the things that they were saying, and found them to be liars. Now we're going to find two problems. Not one, but two. Nevertheless, remember, this is Jesus speaking. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. It's really easy as a parent, as a manager, as a worker, to be focused on your task, focused on your kids, focused on the necessities of what has to be done, the job, what you're doing, how you're directing, how you're being directed. Looking out for problems within that almost becomes second nature. But that isn't Jesus' problem with them. And that's not their true problem. Their problem is there have been so much on a heavenly mission, they've forgotten who heaven is all about. Jesus Christ. You've lost your first love. Their first love is tied to their repentance. You remember, when you first came to the Lord with your whole heart? Your heart doesn't forget that. You remember the zeal that you had for the Lord. You remember the overwhelming relief it is to be forgiven, to be cleansed in conscience, to know that you have a place in God's family. Jesus is saying, you've left that. You've left me, that place which I am and create. It was Jesus who died for our sins, none other. It was Jesus who rose again, giving us promise of new life, none other. Verse 5, remember, therefore, from where you've fallen. They didn't fall with the trickery of perverse words. They fell from not being close to God, from not having that special intimacy with the Lord Himself. Today I was at work. I was going to say this is a praise report, but I thought I'd leave it till now. I'm a warehouse manager, and this is my box cutter. And it's got this little flip switch on it that I can take the blade out. And somewhere in the gigantic warehouse that I work in, that blade came out. And I had no idea where. And it's sharp, and not something that the manager of the warehouse would exactly like, having something sharp left around. So I hunted around for it for a good while. Couldn't find it. So I was walking. It was one of those odd instances where you feel led by the Lord. And I walked to a place I hadn't really intended on being at. And I remembered something that Robin has told us many a time here. If anything you face, have you talked to the Lord about it? Have you prayed? Realized I hadn't. I prayed. I want to tell you what the very next thing I saw was this. In that gigantic warehouse, I found that blade that was missing. Instantly. This is the needle in the haystack, in a sense. Have you remembered Christ? To be near to Him as your purpose. Your purpose isn't all the things that He's given you. You are a gift to others in what you do. But that isn't your purpose. Your purpose is to glorify God and to believe in Christ Jesus, to know Him and know Him better. To explain Him gets to be one of your things that you are entitled to do. It's a gift to you to give. But knowing Him cannot be replaced. Ever. Remember from where you've fallen. Remember that place of being with Him. Repent. And do the first works. Or else, I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand, that'd be that church, from its place, unless you repent. But, this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. We're not really explained too much about the Nicolaitans. There was a, according to some commentaries, a Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And even the commentaries, the different ones, aren't really overly confident of him, but they feel that he may have been a person who tried to move the church into accepting idolatry in Ephesus. The name itself, Nicolaitan, if you break it down, Nikeo means victory over, and laity would be the people. So the idea is one who puts themselves up above the people. Like, I'm a high church official and you're nobody kind of a person. which is, again, a perversity within the church. If you would turn with me back to Acts chapter 20, and we're going to pick up in verse 32. He says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." We'll get into the next part in just a moment. "I commend you to God." It means that he's turning them over, literally. "You're out of my care. I'm giving you unto God's care. And to the word of his grace," to the word of his unmerited favor, that would be his Son, "he who imparts grace to us. To the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Turn with me to Ephesians 4. I like too much to go to Ephesians 2, but we're going to look at 4 today. We're going to look at the first 15 verses. Ephesians 4:1. Paul again speaking. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord," he's in Rome now, those things that have been foretold to him by the Holy Spirit have happened. He is bound, and he is awaiting what will ultimately be his trial and his death, his execution. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord," he's not the prisoner of Rome. Just note that for a moment. He's the prisoner of God. God can open up any door. If the Lord wants him to be there, then he's the Lord's prisoner. "I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Walk in Christ, with all lowliness and gentleness, humbly, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." You read that and stop right there, he sounds an awful lot like John, doesn't he? Well, that's good, because they have the same Heavenly Father. "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given." Again, here we have that gift of grace. "To each one of you, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Jump down to verse 11, if you would. What are those gifts? People. As well as abilities, but "He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God." And the who? The knowledge of who? Turning right back to Jesus. Putting our focus right back where it belongs. "To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love." You know the two great commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Again, turning back to Jesus. We're growing in Him. Don't look at any part of the mission as the mission. Don't look at any part of the job as the job. Don't look at any part of your family as that's the whole intent. But Christ is. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together. Whose body? Christ's body. Joined together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You turn with me back to Acts, chapter 20. We'll recap verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God. There's no one better He could give them to. And to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Build you up to be a teacher, a pastor. How about to build you up to know Christ? And never depart from that. To give you an inheritance. That's being with Christ. Among all those who are saved, sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You know yourselves that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. Paul's saying, I'm not doing this for money. I'm not doing this for what you can give me. I'm doing this because I love Jesus. He loved me enough to die for me, and now I will do all for Him. And all that He does is good, wholesome, builds up people the right way. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. He's given them a pattern to follow. Same pattern that Christ gave us. Always showing us the right way. Always giving what was needed at the right time. Always providing guidance when we'd ask. Showing us by Himself the way to God. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said. Once again, Paul's turning their minds back to Christ. Remember what He said. Is more blessed to give than to receive. As a parent, you understand that when it comes to, say, birthdays and Christmas time. You give out a gift. Other times as well. But there's a totally different joy than when you're receiving something. It's part of you that you're giving. Your love, your intentions, from your own treasure to another. And how much has the Lord given to us? Something for us to go home tonight, remember, and enjoy Christ. Not to have some kind of trip on us about we did or we didn't do this. Know Him. Bring out your Bible. Dust it off if you need to. But look for Him on every page. I had a question a few years back for my pastor out in California. It was in Genesis 6. And it is one of the only times that I didn't really get an answer to a question that I liked it. And that is, while He did later cover the question that I had, he reminded me. It's not all the little how this happened to that one, how this happened to that one details that are in the Bible, but he said, look for Jesus on every page. Find where he is and then follow him. See what he's doing. See what his mind is. See who he is. Find him. He's findable. Seek him. He's made the path, and there are none other. When you go home tonight and you pray, ask the Lord that he would allow you to know him better. That you would get to enjoy his presence and learn from him. To really know him that way that he can say that he too knows you. And when Paul had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. We pray together here. We pray at our homes. Let's not forget that. That's speaking with the Lord directly. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would not see his face any more, or that they would see his face no more. Fellowship on earth is that way. Sometimes we look at it as too finite, too definite an ending with death or with departure. Not always so, because God sees things from a much larger scale of eternity. Something Job had to learn, in fact, I believe is the great lesson of the book of Job, not just dealing with suffering, but gaining God's perspective on all things, from a much larger point of view and from a timeline that includes eternity. And they accompanied him to the ship. If you would turn with me to the end of Ephesians, please. Ephesians 6. I know if you're thinking of that just automatically, you would think like I did at first, and or perhaps you would, and think of the whole armor of God, which is great, but that isn't how Ephesians ends. Ephesians 6, verse 24. Well, let's back up to 23. Peace to the brethren. We're brethren. And love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? You ever looked at scripts as they begin a book and as they end a book? Or just think, well, that's kind of a nice little poetical, God be with you and have a great day. This isn't. Peace to the brethren and love with faith. From who? God the Father and Jesus. So let's read that the other way around. Jesus, God, rather, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ imparts to you peace, love, and faith. His gift, the very thing we had talked about before in gifts. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, not in perversity, in sincerity. Amen. Grace be to you, brothers, to all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reminder to them again. Don't lose that first love. When you think of the Lord, remember the joy with which he thinks of you. Able to endure the cross for the joy that was set before him, that's you and I. Tonight as we go home, let's thank him and enjoy his presence. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your continued goodness to us and how you outpour yourself to us. This night as we go, help us to remember you, to talk with you, to be at ease in your presence, to be able to go boldly before your throne of grace with everything. In Jesus' name, amen.